Moon. And obviously it's Mother's Day, so I thought I would read a few verses from the Bible that have something to do with mothers. As you probably know, mothers in particular feature a lot in the New Testament of the Bible. There are some things that mothers see that nobody else sees. In particular, of course, the mother of the Lord Jesus. And I think I'm going to put this off because I had a wee bit of problem with feedback, and we'll just get rid of that. Oh, well, yeah, that's fine. And I'll just try my best to shout. Okay. Having five boys, I'm fairly good at shouting. Good. So let me just turn to the Bible, a couple of verses. And they all have something to do with the Lord Jesus, of course, because that's what the Bible's about. And in particular, it is the Lord Jesus through the eyes of a mother, usually his mother. And it tells us something really important about the Lord Jesus. So I'm going to read just a couple of scattered verses. The first is in Luke chapter number 1 and verse 30. And it says, Then the angel said to her, that's Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever." Then there's a second verse in John 19. This verse is a different part of the life of the Lord Jesus, not at his birth, but at his death. John 19 and verse 25. "And there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." And one final little section that we have over in Mark's Gospel, really appropriate, I think, for this time of year. It's Mark 16, and it's the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And Mark 16 and 1 says, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices and that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large." Let's just ask for God's blessing, shall we? Our Father, we come into thy presence this afternoon with thanksgiving. We give thanks for this time together. We give thanks, our Father, for the blessings that are known to all of us in different ways from the hand of God. We give thanks for the life that we have, the breath that we breathe. And we thank thee, our Father, for those special parts of our family that touch our hearts, that remind us that we are spiritual in character. We thank thee, our Father, for our mothers. We thank thee, our Father, for the families that we're part of. And we really pray, our Father, for a special blessing there. We thank, Father, particularly this afternoon of the message of the Bible. And we give thanks, our Father, it's a message that presents to us the Lord Jesus. And we ask, our Father, for a blessing this afternoon. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So three little sections I've read to you in the Bible. The message of the Bible, maybe not the most popular message in New Cumnock, maybe not the most popular message even in the world, but it is undoubtedly the most important message that you'll ever hear. It's a message that deals with the fact that one day we're going to meet God. And at that point, our destinies are going to diverge. We're all here in this room together tonight, this afternoon, and that's great. But at one point in life, our paths will diverge. And the Bible tells us that there's a heaven and there is a hell. There is a way into heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus, and that's what these verses are all about. And there is a way into hell, and that is to ignore the great salvation in Jesus Christ. I believe that is the most important message. I lost my natural mother many, many years ago. I was quite young at the time. But I do remember one thing that she said to me, and it stuck with me. I had managed, I think, at that point to get into university. And she said to me this, she said, "Stuart, you might have brains." She did use the word might. "Stuart, you might have brains," she says, "but if you don't have the Lord Jesus, you don't have anything." And I remembered that. And that is so true. Because no matter what abilities you might have, whether it might be practicable things or brains or whatever, or a nice personality, that will only last you for time. But that link with Jesus Christ lasts you forever. And in these three verses, we've got the Lord Jesus through the eyes of mainly his mother, in fact. It's a real fresh look at the Lord Jesus. You know, as you go through the Bible, there's lots of people who have got a fresh look at the Lord Jesus. It's an experience they have of the Lord Jesus, and they'll tell you something about the Lord Jesus. There's a man, for example, that will tell you, you know, I used to be blind, but now I can see because I met the Lord Jesus. There was a woman who was condemned because of her sin. Men were ready to stone her, and she was forgiven her sin. And she could tell you, I've got forgiveness because I met the Lord Jesus. There was a man who was dead, and the stone was rolled away from his grave. And he could tell you, I'm alive. I'm alive because I met the Lord Jesus. And they would look back over their lives, and they would say, listen, there's a line drawn in my life before and after. Before I was dead, before I was blind, before I was empty, before I was disappointed, before I was a sinner, and now I've met the Lord Jesus, and that has transformed my life. In these three verses we've read, we get three little glimpses of that same Saviour. Mary, his mother, tells us about his birth, and she tells us about a son. That's wonderful. And just in case you wonder if this Bible is just a kind of fairy story, Mary understands this, that the Jesus that will be born by her is going to be called the Son of David. He's going to live and be born in the fulfillment of 4,000 years of Old Testament prophecies. The Jesus that you can trust, the Jesus that died for you, is not a fairy story. He's a Jesus who was spoken about by prophets for thousands of years before he came. This book is a biography of Jesus Christ, and most of it was written before he was born. That makes him utterly unique. You can read about the biographies of great men, or maybe not so great men. You can read about the biographies of politicians. They're all written after they die. The biography of Jesus, before he was born. The biography of the Lord Jesus tells us where he would be born, how he would die, tells us about his cross before he came here, tells us about his resurrection before it ever happened. It's all in there. You can trust him. You can rely upon him. He's a great Saviour. Secondly, you get a little glimpse too of the cross, and it's Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, that tells me about that too. Not only do we have a son that we can depend upon, but we've got a Saviour that died for us. Now, this is really important, because we get a lot of strange ideas today that we kind of roll out of life and we roll into heaven and everything will be okay. But when it comes to God's view of heaven, God's view of heaven is different from ours. God's view of heaven is this, that there is a door that keeps us out and it needs to be opened. And it's going to be opened at a tremendous cost. And he gives his son to die for me. Now you say, well, that's a big thing to do, to send your son to be crucified and die for me. It's a big thing to do because, number one, you're important. You're made in God's image. And he doesn't want to lose you. It's important. And number two, you can't just roll into heaven. There's a thing that keeps us out of heaven. It's our sin. And God loved us and sent his son to die for us. And we can't get past Calvary. We can't just say, well, you know, we'll work our way and we'll get to heaven one day and we'll die and we'll all be in a happy place. It doesn't work like that. There's only one way, the Bible says, and that is through the Lord Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he's the way because he died for our sins, and our sins keep us out. And then thirdly, there's a final view there. And again, it's in the eyes of a mother, not the mother of the Lord Jesus, but it's the that little glimpse there of resurrection. And we have a Saviour, you see, who not only suffered, but he's victorious and he's able to save. The Bible tells us that here is someone that is able to deal with me today. And I know that sometimes the message of the Bible gets kind of presented as, you know, something for tomorrow, you know, maybe something for the future. But the Jesus of the Bible is a Saviour that is able to save you now and change lives, transform lives. If anyone is in Jesus Christ, says the Apostle Paul, he's a new creature. And he's a new and a living Saviour, a Saviour that is able to draw close. He's a Saviour that's able to change lives. He's a Saviour that's able to give hope where there's hopeless, open eyes where they're blind. He's able to fill and to satisfy and to be with us forever. What a great Saviour we have. Well, thanks very much for coming along this afternoon. I'm going to stop speaking. I'll just give thanks for the food.